Started.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. I give you my peace, and let's start with an opening prayer. Father, we come before you, and we want to say thanks first for allowing us to come into your home this morning to hear your word, to receive your grace and sacrament. For some, it's been a rough week. For others, it's been quite the battle, or it hasn't been that difficult at all. But for all of us, Father, our hearts are filled with joy, and they are filled with thankfulness. It is because of you that we are here today, in this moment, sharing it with you. You plucked us from this world. You set us apart. You gave us power and authority, and you asked us to be active. And we are humbled that you would call us, human beings, to do a work in your work. We look, Father, to this evening hour for comfort and strength, for insight and word, and we ask, Father, for your patience with us, with the difficulties that we struggle with in our life, that sometimes those things take us over, and they overwhelm us, and we forget for a moment what our true responsibilities are. You will remind us this evening of what those are and how important they are, and we seek, Father, your grace. Provide your blessing for us in this evening hour. For all of eternity, we extended an invitation to all the groups, all the realms, and all the individuals that we as guardians have gone into to extend a hand to help. We have invited all of them to share in this evening with us, that they may know the mysteries of your kingdom, that they may feel the love that we feel, that they may understand as we understand what your plan is for mankind, and that all of us together, Father, bind our hearts to yours, and that if there are issues in this world that weigh down on someone, we ask that you will give them the strength to bear it, that it doesn't interfere with this evening's meeting. We cast out all evil, and we provide peace for everybody in their homes. Michael has already bound and swept everybody's homes again, and our healing master Marty has grounded everybody's home, because we do not wish for any moments to be stolen from us because of Satan. And we pray, Father, for insight into our own lives, for guidance into our own faith, and for strength to help us bear all the responsibilities that we have to bear. Thank you for everything you provide for us, and always according to your will we bow. And in your name we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's start with a little meditation. I know I was getting a little aggravated, but everyone take a big deep breath. In through your nose, out through your mouth. Get in the center of your mind. Meet me in the grand chamber in the palace. Take a deep breath. Let go of your day. Let go of the last couple minutes of this evening. We don't need to be frustrated about anything. Father has us. He is sitting on his throne, and he is asking all of us to sit on the floor in front of his throne like the children that we are. He's holding up his hands. He says, I give you my peace. I shower on you my grace. And I bestow on you my strength. You will hear my message in a few minutes, and it will address many concerns that rest on many of your hearts. I want you to know that I am not disappointed with any of you, that I know how difficult it is to balance life and faith and work. So I will be giving you extra this evening to help you figure that out. Take a deep breath. There's nothing to be anxious about or frustrated. You are no different than the patriarchs of old, who I gave huge responsibilities to, who also had many questions, and they were able to serve my will. And through that process, they were given the answers they needed when the time was right. and I gave them the assistance they needed to complete their tasks, and they found success in their endeavors doing my work. And because of their efforts and faith, many found salvation. It is no different in this time now. Please take a deep breath. I am binding all your hearts together. I am removing from your hearts the sense of loss and confusion. And for some, you feel abandoned. I would never abandon you, nor would my sons. I now draw all of you closer to me, and I bring you into my presence, that you may feel my glory and love. I'm patting all of you on the top of your head, just shining up your crown chakras. Please take another big deep breath. Absorb my life and light. And let go of this world. It has no place in these meetings. It has no place in my kingdom. And though you dwell in this world, do not let it into your hearts. And I appreciate the work that you do, the support that you give, and the path that you walk to help others. Do not think that I do not see how you suffer and the things you go through for me. I certainly do. Take comfort to know that you are loved and appreciated. Take one more big deep breath. And we will continue with my word. When you're ready, focus your attention behind your eyes and open them. Okay. I met with Father, and this is what he had to say. My dear family, I greet you in love. Do not concern yourselves with this world, for I have told you that there would be wars and natural disasters that will herald Jesus' coming. Behold what I have said. This is just the beginning. So much more is about to happen across this world, the likes of which no one has ever seen. This pandemic was the start of this next period of time. Many have suffered pain and loss. I used this to test the hearts of mankind. Many turned away from the world and came back to me. This made my heart very happy. But in a very short time, many will turn back to the world and leave me once again. This is all free will. May I tell you once again that I hold you and your families in the palm of my hand. You will be shielded from this. You are my guardians. Let us once more define for you what that means. Guardian, a person who guards, protects, or preserves. Law, a person who is entrusted by law with the care of a person or property, or both of another, as a minor or someone legally incapable of managing his or her own affairs. You are my protectors, and you will defend my laws. What laws do I speak of? The path to righteousness, which is the path to my kingdom. You will teach all who will listen how to get to me. You already know what your tasks are. Protect the bride of Christ, defend the apostles' doctrine, and help bring the bride home. I have and will continue to give you what you need to do all of this. My son Tryland will share more with you later. For now, take heart. I know that you have many questions such as, how will I support my family financially? Where will I live when all of this happens? How will I feed my family? Where will Tryland be, and how am I going to support him? In time, you will know. All I ask of you is to have faith in me. I have reassured you many times that I have this. I will tell you when the time is right. You now need to focus on you. Meditate. Come see me. Go into eternity and serve the bride there. And never forget to be you. Learn and use your gifts. Much of your potential has not even been unlocked. I am speaking to all of you, not just the new guardians. Stay alert, be vigil, be active, and continue in the work that is yours and all of mankind's salvation. Know your Father loves you and does not judge you. Does anybody have a comment or question?
I do.
Okay.
When Father said, continue to go into eternity and help our fellow, what exactly was that again?
Go into eternity and help the bride.
Okay, so is that just doing the same things we've been doing, or is that something different?
It is the same thing. He's just asking us to do it more often. Good question. Anybody else?
I just to clarify that, go into eternity and help the bride.
Yeah.
Also.
He speaks in generality because there are many souls in eternity that are going to become the bride.
Okay.
So even though they haven't been sealed yet, they may be, and they will be the bride. And that's kind of the same thing he says when it comes to helping mankind. Not everybody in the world's been sealed, but they are the bride to him because he already sees them in heaven with him. We need to extend our vision, I should say, from just looking in front of ourselves to looking to the future. And as we unlock our gifts, I believe that's something Father will give us to see better. That's why I said in the prayer, give us clarity and insight.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
It's
anybody else?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say to give us clarity and help us to see better. The other night, I asked Father to open my eyes, and I saw more clearly than I ever have before.
Wonderful. Anybody else?
There's lots of Facebook and Instagram posts talking about how this pandemic was just the test. So it's interesting, Father had said that there's a feeling that this was just a precursor to what's going to come. Now, I think they're posting it because they think it's a conspiracy theory, but I know what Father's talking about, but, you know.
Right. You know.
They have no idea. And I've even talked to people here. I'm like, this is nothing, really. If we can't do this, then... And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, do you want to know? And some of them say yes, some say no. I'm like, okay. Well, I said, I have a faith. I believe that this is not nowhere close to the end time. I said, when we know... I said, when God starts to destroy this place, we will know. There will be no question.
That's
there
for sure.
Be no question. So, yeah.
And especially when he just releases the angels at the four corners of the world.
Yeah.
step back and watch what destruction really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's got to happen.
Yeah.
We get to go home.
Her microphone's off. Starlight, your microphone's off.
There you are. The cat was staring at something, and I was trying to figure out who. it was Michael.
No, it's Father.
Father. Back right there. She was staring at Father. I was going to turn the camera.
He's standing behind me.
That's funny.
Creepy. Yeah, the cat does that all the time. Now, anybody else? Okay. A deeper understanding. I picked 1 Corinthians 4. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. This pertains to all of us as well. I've said in the past through numerous meetings that you and I are given information that not everybody else is. I can't speak for our apostles because I'm not in their midst and I don't know what their conversations are, but I can certainly speak to what you and I have heard from Father, what he asks of us to do, and I have often thought that Christ said to the people, his apostles at that time, he said, it's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. For you and I, as guardians, it is for this world, through us, to understand the mysteries of our Father's heart. And that comes from you and I spending time with him and explaining to him how we feel about things and how we are maybe scared at certain times because of what's coming. I found his message very comforting because, you know, and I'll just lead into my email that I sent out last month where I said, I feel this uneasiness in the team and something's off and I can't put my finger on it. And I had been feeling that for some time now prior to that. And then Starlight spoke up and said the exact same thing to me. So that was just a confirmation for me that there's something off in the team, and I'll be honest and to the point. In the past, I've always waited to see what's going to happen, where it's going to come from, and what's going to transpire. But you know what? I don't want to do that anymore because the last time I did that, I ended up letting people go because we didn't address it soon enough or I didn't allow myself to be open to you to answer any question you had or concern. Or if someone is feeling a fear about this future and they're worried about their family, I know in my heart that's why Father addressed it this evening and said, can I tell you again that I have you and your family in the palm of my hand? I'm getting a little emotional because I sometimes think as human beings, we forget that he is the one who's picked all of us to do this task. Not one of us came to him and said, hey, by the way, I'd like to have my life incredibly complicated, and I'd like to be at no peace, and I'd like to help people that I've never met before, and I'd like to see stuff that I can barely understand most of the time. But you and I were chosen, and I've said in the past as well that we're no different. Even Father said that. You're no different than the patriarchs of old. I mean, put yourself in any one of their shoes. Right? I think of Elijah. Right? He's going to go kill 300 priests of Baal. He's going to go do that. Father's not asking you and I to go kill anybody. But here's a guy who's got to go do that. And for sure, it came out in the service last week where we are aware of what he did. No, I don't want to do that. Why don't you just kill me and we'll be done with this and go find somebody else. Right? I know in my heart I've said that to him many times. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this. I'm going to fall apart. And what did Father do for him? He gave him a place to rest for 40 days. He fed him. He sent him angels. He strengthened him. And then he went and did what he was told. That is what these meetings are. And I am here. I'll be very open to you. I am here and I am concerned about you personally and your family. I have had people come and go from our team, and it has broken my heart. But I'm not going to keep anybody here in our team that doesn't feel that they're getting the support they need, or they don't feel Father is helping them as much as they would like, or they feel they can't do it anymore. So I'm opening that up this evening to anybody. Send me a text or an email. If you are just exhausted from this whole idea of being a guardian, or if you want to talk to me because you need strength or encouragement, we, and I'm speaking for Father, myself, Jesus, and HS, we are here for you. He didn't choose us because we're going to fail. He chose us, and forgive me for saying this, because we all have the balls to stand up to Satan and the evil that's in this world and say no. Here is the line in the sand, and you can't step over it. And you want to know why? Because I'm going to stop you. That is the conviction that you and I need to have in our hearts. I have never felt stronger in my heart of who I am and what I'm supposed to do, regardless of this world and what it says and what it believes it's going to do, no matter what anybody says about the Christians and how they're going to persecute, ridicule, and kill them. You and I will not be touched because we are the spear. We are the tip of the spear for Father. I'm not blowing smoke up your skirts or up your armor. I'm being honest. I have gone through periods of time, long before any of you were around, where I questioned everything that happened to me. And I would convince myself that I had this great fantasy mind, that I'm making all this stuff up, that none of that was true, that there's no way that just happened. And quietly, Father would say to me often, "You just are not that creative, boy. You can do this. You have done this. You did help that person. You went there, you said what I told you to say, and that person received grace because you were obedient." I'm going to tell all of you, you have all had experiences without any one of us around you, all by yourself, helping somebody or a soul that you questioned whether that was real or not. It was real. You are who Father says you are, not who I say you are. I didn't choose you. Father chose you. And I constantly say to him, because you chose them, you have got to give them more strength. You have got to shore them up more. You have got to see when they're weak that you send an angel to strengthen them like you did with me. I got Michael who's always smacking me on the back of the head or the arm telling me, "You need to straighten up, sir. You need to get back in the fight, sir. Stop thinking those thoughts. We are way beyond that now." You have that too. I am not giving permission to all the guardians to let their lead angels smack them in the back of the heads, but if that's what's needed, by all means. I need everybody to be convicted in their hearts that you are the name that Father gave you, that you are the gifts that He's given you that you still haven't tapped into yet. In my tenure of being who I am still amazed at the things He allows me to do in His name, and I am humbled when those things take place. I am still learning. You do not have 15 years like I did to pull your head out of your pooper and understand what's going on. You just don't. And that's why I pray very hard for all of you. And that's why when I put my finger on the pulse of the team and there's an irregular heartbeat, I'll say, I get concerned. I'm immediately talking with Father. He will not tell me who it is that has a problem or difficulty, because he still respects your privacy, I'm not going to pry. I just want you to know that there's very little that can go on with this team without me knowing about it. And I'm not doing that to be weird or creepy. It is because our hearts are connected, and I care about you as a person. I should say, firstly, as a soul, as my brother and sister, because you're my family. And that's how Father greeted us, if you didn't catch that this evening. He said, my dear family, I also respect you as a human being, but I also respect you as a guardian. And I also understand the power that you embody because of the authority I gave you. We don't have time to allow Satan to weasel his way into this team, to muck it up, and to cause confusion. I'm just not going to allow it. Punishing him has never been a good thing. It doesn't help any of us. Binding him doesn't do anything. So the best thing that you and I can do is ignore him. And that's what I've been doing. Starlight did it too. He showed up. She completely ignored him. It just irritates him even more that he can't get our goat, whatever the heck that saying is. That's right. And to show you how stupid he is and aggravating, we leased a brand new car for my wife. And 6 days after we got it, he snapped the passenger side mirror off. We thought maybe it was a kid in the neighborhood, right? Cops came out, they shook their heads, couldn't believe it, snapped it perfectly off. Now, because it's a brand new vehicle, a side view mirror is not $100. It's $534 with installation. And I said to Father, I appreciate that you've blessed us with a savings. I don't appreciate having to spend it this way. So I would ask that you don't allow Satan to do that again. But he was so aggravated with both of us that he did that to just upset us. And he did for a little bit. And then we got our heads out of our poopers and we relaxed. And then I laughed about it. And I said, nice job, Satan. You can have the material things of this world. They don't matter to us. And everything that we have in this world is Father's. So he can take it away from us if he wants to. I'm sharing all of this with you because I love you, all of you. And I want you to know that you're not alone in this fight, that you're never alone. And that I pray for you numerous times through the day. Because when you're suffering, I get a feeling in my heart. And that's why sometimes I'll take it even farther, and I'll contact you with a text and say, how's it going? Or I'll send a group email because I want you to know I feel for you and I need you. I can't do this by myself. I think back years ago where I was told I'm going to have a team, and I went, what? Great. Now I got to manage people. I can barely manage myself. But I am beyond thankful that Father's given me you. I have learned so much because of you and your experiences. And that's also why I threw out that invitation this evening and said, does anybody have anything they'd like to share? Because I know if you're active, you're going through certain things. And I wasn't asking for some miracle experiences where the world was saved. And, you know, all of that. I was just wondering if there's something that you're fighting through and you found a little victory because of your prayer life or something else in your family, anything that you feel comfortable enough to share with all of us, with your family. We are not here to point fingers, to judge one another, to criticize. I want this meeting to be so comfortable that, and you're going to forgive me for using this analogy, but you feel so comfortable to fart in front of each other, right? Because we're family. That's what this meeting is intended for, to be that comfortable with each other, to respect each other, that we want to learn from each other. So now I'm just going to call the choir. They can sing now as I take a break.
Thanks, Fred, for turning the smell off.
Does anybody want to make a point or anything at this point? We have a few other things to go through, but I don't care. We can open it up now.
No, I mentioned Dryland. I feel a sadness. There's something going on, but I wasn't certain what it was. It's so hard to try to use your antenna to know that it's you or something local or on the team, but I've been praying for the team multiple times during the day, and you know, it's living with Dryland and then being a guardian has been with them that long. It's really strange for me to think how long it's been, but I've always felt like we're a family. Maybe it's newer for somebody, but you know, this group of people we've known for so long, we've known longer than even when his task started. So, you know, I've always felt that comfortable, but if you don't feel that comfortable, you know, try to figure out what it is. And maybe that's the issue that you're having. Maybe there's something that you're questioning or something, but, you know, I'll continue to pray for the team, and I know you all pray for me, and we're in this together. I don't know how else. I mean, I look at everybody on the screen, and even though Fred doesn't ever put his camera on, I can see him and Kathy. Stop it, Fred. You know, and the plural horns. There's something wrong with their camera, but maybe it's just Tranquility's. You know, transmission is okay, but where they are over in Toronto, it's not. But I'm glad we don't see Jerry's face, by the way. That's okay. We don't need to see his face. But honestly, you're all family. I don't know how else to ever think about it. I get excited. I used to be worried about the meeting and what to say and how to say it. And now I get excited because it's an hour that we can spend with each other through the turmoil and just being able to share. So I hope everybody can feel like that. And if not, if you want to reach out to him or me or whatever, or just pester Father to help you through it, by all means, because what's coming, we need to be together and strong. And I see it. Right. I see us all together, yeah, fighting so already. So that's just my piece.
I've got something to share, if it's okay.
Please do.
Yeah, so Dryland, you and I have talked about this quite a bit, but I feel comfortable sharing it with the team at this point. After years and years of struggling with my family relationships, when I say we, Lauren and I, have decided to cut ties with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
It's long story short, we've had communication issues for a very long time. There's lack of mutual respect and a lot of attempted emotional manipulation. And when we try to talk about it, it always goes south. And we either get hung up on or yelled at, saying that we're being disrespectful while we're just trying to talk, and always trying to keep Father and HS and Jesus involved in the conversation. And anytime we talked about faith, it went well for a minute and then went right back to how it was. So we know that there's some sort of influence there. As much as I've tried to put up protection and clear his space, things keep getting invited back in. So we made the tough decision to protect Noah, protect our family, and for the time being cut communication. My mom is still in our lives. We're still talking to her. Everything has been great there, and she understands where we're coming from, which almost makes it harder. If that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, any prayers would be welcome.
Definitely.
Of course.
for sure. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks for providing me.
Very welcome. Q, you had some experiences you were going to share.
Yes. So I had an interesting conversation with Donnie not too long ago. And we talked about my Aunt Dory, our Aunt Dory. And she is the oldest sister of our grandmother. And our grandmother is the youngest. And in the conversation, he said, well, you're a guardian. Why don't you just go find her? Because never saw her. No one ever saw her. When Bobby saw Grandma on Palm, and said that she's going to bring the whole family on Palm Sunday. And that was when Lord's Light was going to sing. And we didn't really think about it much, but we knew Grandma was there and everybody else was there. But we had never seen Aunt Dory. So I want to give you a little bit of background because, you know, this helps us to kind of understand how people, period, deal with each other and hurt each other. There are five sisters and three brothers in the Breton family. And that's where Grandma Dursick, that's her family. Aunt Dory is the oldest. I think she's the oldest in the family. Diane, is she the oldest or is she the oldest girl?
She's the oldest girl, I think.
Okay. And so, and then there's Lillian, Florence, Jerry, and Jen, or Genevieve, is our grandma. They had a family home that they moved into when Grandma Dursick was, I think, 4 years old. And they lived in that home right up through two or three generations.
Mm-hmm.
And when the great-grandparents passed, Aunt Dory got the deed of the house, and so she moved in. She asked our grandparents to move in with her because they were newly married and it was a big house. And so they did. And so the oldest sister and the youngest sister lived together for most of their lives. And they got along really well. But the other sisters always were jealous. And they always fought. They were always at each other. And it was just a difficult time. When Aunt Dory was older, she was ill. She went into the hospital for a surgery. And someone, I can't remember who told me this, maybe my mom or Aunt Barb, that when she was leaving the house, she turned around and looked at the house and said, goodbye, I'm not coming back. Because she knew. She had this surgery and was in the hospital being taken care of. And the twins, my mom, Aunt Barb, would visit with her often and took care of her. But her sisters also visited her quite a bit. And Aunt Jerry was there one time. And as soon as Mom and Aunt Barb left, she said, you know, the twins aren't going to remember you when you're gone. They're just going to forget all about you. And so it kind of gives you an idea of what kind of spirits were at play. And all of the sisters were like that. She also said, or my mom said, I think, that at her death, it was probably one of the most terrible times in her entire life. She just died in turmoil. Okay. So that's kind of background. So, you know, soon after Grandma died, Bobby saw her and also saw Grandpa. But he was in all gray and in a dark place. So we prayed for him. And now we know that he is fine. But now I come to when I was talking with Donnie, he basically said, I'm concerned about Aunt Dory. Nobody's seen her. We don't know anything about her. Can you go find her? So when I was meditating soon after that, I got grounded, got everything done. And what I realized is how easy it is to actually meditate. All you have to do is go back and see Father after you get everything done and sit with him. How silly am I that I didn't know it was that easy? And we sit with him and it's phenomenal. But as soon as I got there at this time, I said, oh, that's right, Aunt Dory. I've been asked to go look for her. And Father said, go. Oh, okay. I'm ready right now. And I said, Jesus, will you go with me? And so we went. And as we traveled, it was just a short time. We traveled quickly and we descended a bit and it was dark and cold. And as soon as we got there and we stopped, I looked at this wall, and it wasn't really a wall. It was huge doors, wooden doors, and they reminded me of cathedral doors, and they were very tall. And that was where we were. We opened it up, and it was kind of like, the doors of a Catholic church, a big Catholic cathedral. And I could see a lot of people. It was very dark. And right away, I understood who was there. I felt that it was the Catholics who had a strong faith and believed in exactly the way that they believe, the way that they're taught. And they're in there and confused, angry, upset. I also felt with all of the things that, not every priest was bad, obviously, but there were some who were. The nuns who were mean to the students, because that's the way they were taught that they had to be. The aborted children, with all of that. And you know the stories, so you can understand what they're feeling. And then I also felt guilt. And what was interesting about that is that Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, our church, the apostles, everybody teaches you should not feel guilt. But for whatever reason, in the Catholic Church, it just seems like it's brought up a lot and that people feel it. And I don't know that they understand how to get rid of it or not, or if they think that they're supposed to have it. I felt that. And so that all happened in an instant. I knew who they were. So then I looked out and I tried to find Aunt Dory, and it wasn't easy. But I finally saw her just in the mix, and she was looking at me, and she was sad and dark. And I didn't know really what to do except to tell her that we love you and we miss you and we're concerned and help is available. So when someone comes to talk with you, please talk with them and listen to what they have to say. And so, sorry, I get emotional because she's doing better, but not great yet. So then we left. And I kind of thought about the experience myself and tried to get a clear picture of it. And the thing that I realized is that when I have those kind of experiences, I don't really see it clearly enough until I tell someone. And so just I think it was a day later, I talked to Cindy about it, and all of a sudden it just came flooding and I see everything more clearly. And also at that time, Father helped me to understand some things. That Aunt Dory is having a hard time forgiving a number of people, maybe her sisters, but also different situations. And one of them came out when I was telling Cindy that she's still upset with Bob, my stepdad, Diane's dad. because of what happened. And what happened then was Donnie is 9 months older than David. Donnie is Barb's son with Bob. David is my mom's son with Bob. And they're 9 months apart. And so you can understand the turmoil in that. And the whole family was in an uproar. The thing that I realize is that I don't remember any of this. Diane and I were 4 or 5 years old when all of this happened. And hopefully, Diane, you didn't remember anything either. No. Good. But the adults did. And so they hated Bob at the time. The whole family did. And it was really hard on my mom as well. So that's what we found out that she was upset about. But she was also upset with her sisters. So then Father helped me to realize that the way that she can be helped, and it's so beautiful that he's allowing us to do this, is that we talk with him first and say, hey, I'd like to see Aunt Dory. And he'll bring her. He'll have her brought to us, anyone in the family. And it's important that we have that opportunity to talk with her and tell her about our faith, not about the faith, not about, you know, the doctrine and everything. Just explain to her our faith and how we came to be where we are. And that's so beautiful. Now, she did attend services at the New Apostolic Church for a long time. But unfortunately, she wasn't allowed to take Holy Communion. And that hindered her significantly. So you can imagine all of those who came into the New Apostolic Church and were not allowed. It's changed now for the better, and it's so much better. No doubt about it. Other churches do the same thing because they think that they can tell a person, yeah, you're not faithful enough for this. You don't understand. I'm not going to go there. But that hurt her. So I told Cindy about it, and more came. So the family can come. All they have to do is ask Father, and she'll come, and then she'll bring them right to any family member, and we should talk to them, or basically to her. I haven't had much experience with the Catholic faith, and I never really want to judge anyone for their beliefs, but it's interesting that Jesus doesn't seem to be mentioned much in the Catholic faith. They talk more about the Virgin Mary and the saints and all of that, and Jesus is kind of in the background. They even pray to Mary, and it's just... it's interesting, and we know that Mary doesn't really answer the prayers, and she doesn't want to be bothered with them. So I can understand the confusion that the Catholics have about Jesus and all of that. And so when we remember them, we should definitely help them. I mean, you know, we pray that they understand more. I spoke with Donnie on Sunday afternoon after this experience, and he mentioned that he'd already spoken with Aunt Dory, and he emphasized his love and concern for her, and he agreed to continue, and he said that he was going to talk with David. And then I spoke with Diane and Jamie on that Sunday, and after sharing the experience with them, Diane questioned, why is it difficult for Aunt Dory to forgive? And as we discussed this, it didn't take long for the Holy Spirit to point out that she'd never really been taught the importance of forgiveness and how to truly forgive. So if you're not really taught how to do it, then how can you really know how to do it? And then interestingly, Don called a little bit later that afternoon, and he said, he knew that Jesus accompanied me to the realm, but he wondered why no one noticed him. And I stated that that was a good question. Let me go back and, you know, look at my memory and figure it out. And when I looked at it and I saw Jesus, he didn't step into the realm. And he remained outside of the entrance. So no one could see him. But he said that he was not visible to the souls because the purpose wasn't for him to be there. It was for us to make contact with Aunt Dori to help her get started. And I thought that was amazing. You know, when you think about that. And I write here, I kind of wrote this out for myself. He's still humble, even though he's everything. So Father allowed the next service. He allowed Aunt Dori to come to service with me, sat right next to me, held my hand, and she never smiled. She just sat there. She didn't communicate. She didn't say anything. She just sat there and watched the service. And it helped me to understand that it's going to be a process for her, because just like it's a process for any child of God who becomes a child of God, when they first come, they have to understand it all. So she needs our prayers still. And anyone in the family who wants to be with her, all you have to do is ask. And she'll be brought, and you can sit and talk with her. And it's beautiful. That's the extent of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very cool.
Does anybody have any questions?
No questions, but that experience opens up a whole bunch of answers as to why some of the folks that I'm trying to visit don't even want to deal with us because they're Catholic. So that makes sense. Okay. You have to change your testimony. I'll talk about my personal faith rather than the faith. And
yeah, that's a valid point.
Yeah. Cause they think they have a faith, or, you know, they think they were worshiping Jesus, but okay. Cool. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for participating and listening. That's pretty much all I had for this evening hour. Thank you to those who shared. For birthdays this month, Aria had a birthday on May 8th, so we'll just expect her to get spanked by her husband. Now, our next team meeting is Sunday, June 13th, and I asked Nucleos to pray. So, Nucleos, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open up and strengthen our bond as a family. It was said multiple times by many members of the team that we are truly a family, and we are so, so thankful for this, Father. We know that while there are struggles in this life, and while as humans we will go through our turmoil, you have us. As Trilan said earlier in the meeting, Father, we are in the palm of your hand, all of us. And that is so beautiful. Father, please help us to feel that love, to feel your comfort and your peace. And please, Father, provide us your strength. Give us the strength that we need, not only to go throughout our daily lives, but to be the best guardians that we can be, so that we do not hinder your plan, but help it to move forward. Dear Father, there are so many things that need to be done in order for your plan to be fulfilled. And you know this. We know this. Please help us to see what needs to be done, to feel and hear what you need us to do so that we can bring glory to your name. Father, we thank you for the opportunities that you give us on a daily basis and for all the lives that you bring us into contact with, so that we can spread your love and your joy and spread Jesus' word. Father, if there's anything else that we did not talk about in this meeting, any weight on anyone's heart, please, Father, comfort that. Help us to give it to you and not take it back. Please send your son soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Have a beautiful week. You.